Morning, everyone, and as always, welcome to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which pertains to Shavuos, obviously. And what I would like to discuss is the minhag, the very long-standing minhag of eating macholei cholov, of eating dairy milchik on Shavuos, vis-a-vis the halacha of Simchas Yontif, how it plays into the halacha and the mitzvah of the specifically prescribed means that the Torah gives for enjoying Yontif. There are people that say that, well, you should be eating meat at every meal, and if you shouldn't eat dairy, there are those who say, no, you should eat dairy. This is a long-standing debate that has gone on, so I'd like to try to get to the bottom of this to the best that we can. As far as why it is the custom to eat dairy on Shavuos, there are many, many reasons brought down, more than you think. Probably the most often quoted one, although maybe people here will disagree, but I think the most often quoted reason is brought in the Mishnah Berurah, which is that when the Jews returned from the giving of the Torah on Har Sinai, so we are told, Rav Sadia Gaon says that in the Aseres HaDibros are really included all the mitzvahs in the Torah, that if a person looks well, we today can't really see it so well, but if a person looks well into the Aseres HaDibros, you could really see all of the mitzvahs. And as such, it would come out that when the Jews returned from Har Sinai, so the morning the Torah was given in the daytime, and the day that the Torah was given, so they had a dilemma, because now they had been instructed all the laws of kashrus, and as such, it wasn't such a simple thing to eat meat anymore, because of the fact that even though they had animals they took with them out of Mitzrayim, they weren't dependent completely on the mon, certainly not at the outset. But the fact is that it would require a great deal of effort. You would have to go do shrita. You'd have to find a knife that was suitable for shrita. After that, they would have to take out the veins from the animals, which is not such a simple process, etc., etc. A whole list of issues that they would have to find. They would have to salt the meat, soak the meat, all kinds of halachic issues that came up, and therefore it was just easier for them to eat dairy. So as a result, the first meal after the Torah was given was dairy, and as such became the minhag to eat milchik on Shavuos. So says the Mishnah Berurah, brings this in the name of a certain gadol. He doesn't say who it is. There are many other reasons brought as well. Some of the not so famous reasons for why the custom to eat dairy on Shavuos. One reason that's given for the fans of gematria is that the gematria of the word cholov is 40, and 40 symbolizes the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu spent in Har Sinai receiving the Torah from Hashem. That would be a reason. A second reason that's given, actually a third reason that's given, is that we are told in the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu was rescued, was pulled out of the Nile River. It was on the sixth day of Sivan. This is what it says in the Chazal. It was on the sixth day of Sivan, and the daughter of Paro rescued him from the Nile, and it says that the Torah tells us that that she brought him to Egyptian women to nurse, and he refused to nurse from any of them until a Jewish woman was brought, as the Torah says. So therefore, to symbolize that, to commemorate that, we eat milk, we eat dairy products on Shavuos to commemorate the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu would not take the milk from a non-Jewish woman, only from Jewish women.
That's Chol of Yisrael.
Chol of Yisrael, right. the origin of Chol of Yisrael. I didn't want to say that, because then you get into trouble if you're going to eat not Chol of Yisrael on the Shavuot. All right, anyway, then we have another reason that's brought down, is the fact that the Torah is compared to milk. It's brought, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Dvash v'cholov tachas l'shonech, that the Torah is compared to milk and honey. Now, why honey didn't make it into the big time, I don't know. Maybe it was designated for Rosh Hashanah, but milk.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can have honey anyway. You can have honey if you want, yeah, but milk became the minhag. Milk became the minhag. I saw a very interesting explanation, perhaps a Hasidic explanation, why the Torah is compared to milk and honey, because honey comes from bees, not all of it, but a lot of it comes from bees, and milk comes from cows, as we know. And both of these items are things which in and of themselves cannot be eaten. A bee is a non-kosher insect, and a cow can be eaten, but only after it's prepared properly. It has to be, has to have a shechita and so forth. So they, both milk and honey originate from what you might want to call impure sources, but can become acceptable if it's processed in the right way. So the explanation is given that the Torah has the ability to transform a person from the mundane into the holy, and therefore that's the reference to honey and milk, because these are things that can be transformed, even though they come in and of themselves, when the source that they immediately come from is not kosher, but it can be transformed into something special. And finally, there is also the explanation that's given that a human being has, in terms of food, has many needs. Many needs. A person cannot really subsist on just one food, not water, not bread. You need a number of things for nutrition, and yet a child is able to subsist. One of the great miracles of life is that a child can subsist on his mother's milk exclusively for an extended period of time. And therefore, the reference to milk is that milk, the mother's milk in this case, has the ability to totally sustain a person, to totally give a person everything that they need, and thus we have the analogy to Torah, that Torah is compared to Cholov. So these are a lot of the reasons that are brought. There are many more reasons if a person wants to check out. Okay, I'm getting the nod of approval from Dr. Brody. There are many more reasons that are brought down. There are probably numerous ones, but these are some of the ones that I saw. And there is one that I omitted, which I will get to at the end of the shiur. There's one that's brought in the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch, which is we'll get to at the very end. But this is the idea of eating machol echolov. So the question, though, presents itself that there are those that say, but on the other hand, it's yontif. And if it's yontif, where do you come? These are all very beautiful, very meaningful reasons and explanations and minhagim, but where do you come to push out the idea of treating yontif in such a way that we would say that a person should eat meat products, a person should eat the basar on yontif? So this is what I would like to discuss today, exactly the halacha in this area. So I'd like to begin by discussing the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. There is a section in Shulchan Aruch that discusses the laws of Simchas Yontif. That is a special mitzvah in the Torah that a person should have Simcha on Yontif. Where does this come from? So if you look on the sheet, on the first source that we have here, the well-known pasuk that says, V'samachta b'chagecha, okay, that a person, this is, the Torah says it's specific, this pasuk is discussing Sukkot, but the Chazal derived that this pasuk really applies to every yontif. V'samachta b'chagecha, that you should rejoice on your holiday, atov, imcho, vitecha, you, yourself and your children, v'avdecha, v'amasecha, and the people who work for you, your servants, v'halevi, v'hager, v'hayosim, v'aman, and those people who have, are not financially secure, those people who need assistance, the people in your midst, everybody's supposed to be happy on Yontif. Everybody's supposed to be happy. So this is a mitzvah, v'samachta b'chagecha. We know it's a song, right? The second part of the well-known song, v'yisach sameach, is in the next pasuk. But the fact of the matter is that this is the song. Yes?
And it shows you in that pasuk that you do it for your four people, uh-huh, which is the first four,
uh-huh,
and the other next four are Hashem's.
Hashem will take care. Okay, all right, fine. Well, there's another interpretation of that also, which I may get to. But okay, there you have it. That these are the Torah lists up here. The eight people that should be happy. So a person's direct control is Atah, Mincha, Vitecha, Avdecha, Vamasecha. Okay, so now, so this is B'samachta B'chagecha. But the Torah doesn't say any specifics. There are no details given. In other words, what exactly is the simcha that a person is supposed to have? What does that mean? A person should dance, a person should sing, a person should eat, what a party, what exactly? Right, a person should learn Torah, what exactly does this mean? What exactly does this mean? So, there's another pasuk which we will get back to in a moment, but if you turn over the page, so we have the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, which is really the beginning of the discussion on the inyan of Simchas Yontif. The Gemara tells us on Daf Samech Ches Amud Beis and Pesachim, it says, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein lo la'adam b'yontif, ela o ochel b'shosa, o yoshe b'shona. There's a famous machlokes. how Yontif should be observed. So comes the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, and he says, you have two choices. There is a Torah says, v'samachta, so we don't know what that means. What does it mean you should be happy? And there, in general, there are two types of, does it mean a person should be in the physical mode, or perhaps in the spiritual mode? So Rabbi Eliezer said, you have a choice. You could either spend the whole Yontif partying, ochel v'shosa, or you could spend Yontif in the spiritual mode of davening and learning. That's what he said. Rabbi Yeshua says, the opinion which is authoritative, chilkehu, that a person should divide up Yontif, chetzev l'achilu shesia, v'chetzev l'beis hamedrash. That a person should divide up Yontif, that half of the time should be spent in spiritual pursuits, and half of it should be spent in physical pursuits. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara continues and says, Shnei Mikra Echad Darshu, that these two, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, were coming from the same psukim. Because Kasav Echad Omer, because in reference to Yontif, we find one pasuk which says, Atzeres Hashem Elokecha, that Yontif is for Hashem. Atzeres is a reference to a specific Yontif, but really the Chazal interprets to mean every Yontif, is Hashem Elokecha. Because of Echad Omer, and another pasuk says, Atzeres Tiyolachem, that the Yontif should be for you. So we have one pasuk that indicates that Yontif should be for Hashem. Another pasuk indicates that Yontif should be for you. So how do you reconcile that? So Rabbi Eliezer reconciled it by saying, you have a choice. You have a choice. You could do either one. You want it, it could be for you, or it could be for Hashem. You want to sit the whole day Yontif and eat and drink and be merry, that's fine. Or you could spend the whole day in spiritual pursuits, which would also give a person simcha. Okay, whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, Chilkehu, Chetziv Lashem, the Chetziv Lachem. The very well-known words of the Chazal, Rabbi Yeshua says that it should be divided up, Chatziv Lashem, the Chatziv Lachem. We fulfill both psukim by saying that a person should spend part of his yontif for Hashem, meaning that part of the day should be spent in prayer and in learning, and part of the day should be spent in enjoyment. That is the first background that we have to know. Just to go a drop further here, very important pertaining to Shavuos, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rebbe Elazar, Hakol Modim Batzeres Debeina Nami Lachem. Says the Gemara, but when it comes to Atzeres, which in the Talmudic vernacular is a reference to Shavuos, when it comes to the Yontif of Shavuos, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree, that a person has to have physical enjoyment on Shavuos. Why is that my timer? What's the reason? Because Yom Shenitna Bo Torahu. Because that was the day that the Torah was given. As Rashi explains, the Torah was given, we have to show that we're happy with it. The Torah, after all, was a big, major undertaking for the Jewish people to accept. Everyone's life was radically changed once the Torah was given. You have all the mitzvahs, you have all the prohibitions. So, in order to show that we're happy with it, a person has a special requirement on Shavuos that there should be lachem. So even though it doesn't really affect us, because we anyway hold the halacha like Rabbi Yeshua, we hold the halacha that it should be chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem, so there is a component of physical enjoyment on Shavuos anyway. But the Gemara is just saying that even according to the other opinion, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that who says that theoretically a person could spend Pesach and Sukkot by sitting a whole day in a Beis Medrash, but nevertheless, when it comes to Shavuos, you have to party a little bit, so to speak. Why? Because you have to show that you're happy. Every person has to show that we're happy with the acceptance of the Torah, and that is an expression of happiness that we physically enjoy ourselves as well. That's the first Gemara. Okay, but we still don't have total clarity in what did the Torah mean when the Torah said v'samachta v'chagecha. So here we have the next Gemara, which is found also in Pesachim on Daf Kuf Tesem and Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Chayiv Adam l'sameach banav u'bnei beisel b'rego. That a person has an obligation on Yontif to make his entire family happy. How do we know this? Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'samachta b'chagecha. When the Torah says v'samachta b'chagecha, that you should rejoice on your yontif, that means you have to make your entire family happy. How so? Says the Gemara, b'ma m'samchem. How do you make them happy? B'yayin, that everyone should have something to drink. put some wine on the table. Everybody should have some wine in order to be happy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, however, the Gemara does not leave it at that. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Anoshim beroy lahem, v'noshim beroy lahem." That in order to make everybody happy, it's not enough to give people wine, but you have to make everyone happy in the way that they will be happy. Says the Gemara, "Anoshim beroy lahem b'yayin," that the men will be happy if they have wine, but that won't help for the women necessarily. So the Gemara says, "V'noshim b'may," but what about the women? Tani Reb Yosef, so Reb Yosef says, "B'bavel b'bigdei tzivonim," that in Bavel, the way to make a woman happy for Yontif would be to buy her a colorful dress for Yontif. And Eretz Yisrael, b'bigdei pishtan meguhatzim, and in Eretz Yisrael would be to buy linen garments. That was the way that was considered the prestigious thing to wear. So therefore, what he's saying is that in order to make a man to make his wife happy on Yontif, he should buy her something new to wear for Yontif. Okay, we'll see more about this in a minute. Continues the Gemara and says the following: Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says as follows: Bizman shebeis hamikdash kayom, that at the time that the Beis Hamikdash stood, ein simcha ela bebasar. Then the interpretation of the pasuk v'samachta bechagecha would be to eat meat, and this is going to be very important. At the time that the Beis Hamikdash stood, Simcha was with meat. How do we know this? Shenemar, as the Torah says, "V'zavachta shlomim v'achalta shom v'samachta lufnei Hashem Elokecha." We have a pasuk that was printed on the first side of the page that says that you will slaughter carbon shlomim, that a person will bring a carbon and he will eat the meat v'samachta, and then he will be happy lufnei Hashem Elokecha. Says the Gemara that from this we derive that when the Torah says, it says in the pasuk v'samachta b'chagecha, and in the second pasuk it says v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, what this means is, what the Torah is cluing us in on, is that simcha in the time of the Beis HaMikdash referred specifically to eating the meat of the karbonos. Every person who came to the Ol Regel to Yerushalayim would bring an addition, would bring several karbanos. One of them was called the Shalmei Simcha, a carbon shlomim, in honor of the Yontif. And therefore, eating that meat would be a fulfillment of simcha. Says the Gemara, but va'achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, but now that we don't have the beis hamikdash, ein simcha elo b'yayin. So then we only have wine. Shenemar v'yayin yisamach levavenu. And we find in the pasuk that wine makes a person happy. So this is the Gemara. So now the question is as follows. So in other words, what the Gemara is telling us is the two Gemaras seem to be not contradictory, but it's hard to know exactly how they fit together. In other words, the second Gemara seems to be telling us that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the fulfillment of the pasuk v'samachta b'chagecha was to eat meat from the karbonos. When it comes, but b'zman hazeh we have yayin. B'zman hazeh we have wine. And yet, on the other hand, the first Gemara says that to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha and yontif, a person has to go ahead and do things that make him happy. Meaning that a man will drink wine, a woman for his wife, or for other women, he would buy his daughters, he would buy nice clothing for them for Yontif. So the question really is the Torah being specific when it says v'samachta, is it referring to something specific only? Or does it also include a general mitzvah of being happy in any way that makes you happy? So this is a question which is discussed. Exactly what is meant, how we put into the proper perspective these two Gemaras. In other words, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was it just to eat the meat of the carbon, that was it? And if so, then today, the second Gemara seems to say that today, we drink the wine, and drinking wine would be sufficient. So then, but you have the first Gemara that tells us that you're supposed to buy things for people that will make them happy. So if we turn to the Rambam here on the third page, page 3. So the Rambam puts this into very interesting perspective. Okay, now also I just want to add another question which can be raised is that if in fact at the time of the Beis HaMikdash the fulfillment of the mitzvah, v'samachta b'chagecha, was specifically through eating the carbon, so then it should come out that if that's what the Torah meant, then today that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have the Torah's mitzvah anymore. In other words, presumably the Torah was referring to something specific. If the Torah was referring to the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so then good, so then you have the meat that is from the carbon at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but we don't have that anymore, so then you don't have the mitzvah. So if it just I omitted, if you look on the bottom of the second page, the Tosfos in Maseches Moed Katan on Daf Yud Dalet says that, I'll just read the last two lines. Tosfos says, Miul Nira Li the Simchas Haregel Nami Derabbanan V'Samach Dahainu V'Shalmei Simcha. Tosfos is of the opinion that in fact the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif that the Torah was referring to when it said V'Samach D'Bechagecha really does not apply Bisman Hazem Midaraisa, because that was a specific reference to having the enjoyment of eating the meat of the carbonus, that a person would go to the Beis HaMikdash and offer a carbon, and he would have the special pleasure of having the physical enjoyment of eating the meat from the carbon together with the spiritual enjoyment of having become closer to God. So it was a very special experience that was only relevant at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But once the Beis HaMikdash was charev in the situation that we find ourselves today, so the mitzvah is only midrabbanan. This is what Tosfos holds. However, if you turn now to page 3, the Rambam seems to have a different opinion. The Rambam says as follows. The Rambam says, Chayiv Adam Lios Behen Sameach B'Tov Lev. The Rambam in the 6th parak of Hilchos Yontif says that a person is supposed to be happy on Yontif. Hu Banav, he and his children, Vishto and his wife, who b'nei beiso, v'chol ha'nilvim elav. His entire family, everyone that's connected to him. And then he says, how do you know this? Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'samachta b'chagecha. That it says, v'samachta b'chagecha, he's quoting the pasuk, that v'samachta b'chagecha means that everybody has to be happy. And the Rambam proceeds to say, Afal pisha simcha amura kan pi karban shlamim. And even though the Gemara says that the specific reference of the samachta b'chagecha is to the sacrifice, the karban shlamim, k'mosh anu mevarim b'elchus chagiga, says the Rambam, yesh b'chlal osa simcha l'smoach hu banav u'bnei beiso kol echad ve'echad karoy lo. Included in this mitzvah, Midaraisa, seems very clear from the Rambam, that included in the mitzvah of a samachta b'chagecha is not just to eat the meat of the carbon, but rather that everybody should be happy in their own way. Everybody should be happy in their own way. Which the way this is explained is quoted in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that he said that what the Rambam means to say is that there are two aspects to the simcha. There's the subjective and the objective. The objective simcha is something that's universal, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash a person should eat the meat of the carbon shlamim. That is the object. The mitzvah applies to everybody. However, there's also subjective simcha. Subjective simcha means each person has his own simcha. Everyone has things that make them happy. Not everyone exactly in the same manner, but everybody, and certainly different men have things that make them happy, women have things that make them happy, children have things that make them happy. So the Rambam proceeds to say, if we continue here, Yudches, says the Rambam, Ketzad, so how does this play out? Says the Rambam, Haktanim nosin lehem kloyos ve'gozum umidgonos, that when it comes to children, on Yontif, a person should buy candy for children. The children, that's what's going to make them happy. They may not be happy having a new garment. The young child may not be so happy about it. The parents may be happy. The mother would be very happy to show off her child in his brand new designer clothing. But the fact of the matter is, the kid himself would rather jump into a pile of mud and roll around, as we know, right? So with the designer clothing. So how exactly do you make a child happy? The child is made happy. Give them candy. That's what they want. That's what they want. So the Rambam says, that's what you have to do. In the earlier times, they used to give the kloyos, which was some sort of roasted wheat or something like that. But a candy type of thing. Okay, says the Rambam, that's as far as women goes, as far as children goes. V'hanoshim, when it comes to women, kona lehem begadim b'tachshitim noam kefim imono, that a person should buy for the women in his household begodim, should buy clothing, or tachshitim, or jewelry. That's what makes them happy. That's what's going to make them happy. V'hanoshim, when it comes to the men, now here we have to pay careful attention. V'hanoshim, ochlin basar, v'shosin yayin. Says the Rambam, what about men? Men have happiness through eating meat and drinking wine. She'ein simcha ela v'basar, v'ein simcha ela v'yayin. Okay, okay, there you have it. We're getting down to the nitty gritty here. Okay, that's how, says the Rambam, this is how you make every type of person happy. And the Rambam says, this is what the Torah meant. This was samachta b'chagecha. V'samachta b'chagecha midaraisa. The Rambam is not saying midarabbanan like Tosfos says. The Rambam, because Tosfos says, well, look in the Gemara Mitzvachim. The Gemara Mitzvachim says that the happiness of Yontif is the carbon shlomim. Says the Rambam, apparently, the way the Mefarshim and the Rambam explain it, is that the Rambam says that is the objective simcha that the Torah is referring to. That's universal. That's universal. But included in v'samachta b'chagecha is a subjective simcha. Yeah, every person has to be happy. So whatever it takes to make the person happy, you have to do. So different, so for a child, you have to go out and get him candy. He should enjoy yontif. He should enjoy yontif. And so too for women and so too for men. And just for the record, even though it doesn't directly pertain to the shir, the Rambam continues and says, V'chayev l'hachil l'ger l'yosem v'l'almona im shara aniyim ho'im lolem. Says the Rambam, it's not enough for a person to take care of his family members, but he also has to take care of the poor people, the ger, who typically would have a difficult time, in the economy, l'yosem, l'almona, an orphan, a widow, and other poor people. Says the Rambam, Avomisha Noel Dalsos Chatzero, but a person who locks up the gates of his house, V'ochel V'shosa Hu B'nei Bona V'ishto, and he eats and he celebrates only with his family, V'eino Machel Mashkel Anim U'amari Nefesh, and he doesn't include other people who are needy in his celebration of Yontif, says the Rambam, famous words, Ein Zu Simchas Mitzvah. This cannot be, no one can claim that this is a simcha of mitzvah, el a simcha's kreso. This is the simcha of his stomach. Meaning that there are very strong words from the Rambam. Meaning that when the Torah says, ato vincha vitechon, then it says, vager vayosam almona, means that you have to take care of them also. In other words, the mitzvah is, if you're enjoying something, so share it. Share it with other people. There are people who are impoverished. There are people who are needy. You have to bring them in also to the simcha. And the Rambam says very strongly that a person who does not do that can't really claim that his simcha is l'shem shamayim. He can't claim that this is what the Torah is. See, I'm having such a good time. I don't allow anybody in, but I sat down with my family. We got prime beef, rib steaks, all kinds of delicious things, and that's what we're sitting and eating. And of course, we don't share with anybody else, and we're just having it ourselves, and we're partying, and we're having such a good time. The Rambam says that's not simcha shel mitzvah. That's not simcha shel mitzvah. That's simcha's kreso. That's a person who's just partying for his self-indulgence. If a person wants to have a simcha shel mitzvah, he has to include other people also. So what about this person is needy? Who is this person going to celebrate with? Who do they have? Who does this orphan have to celebrate? Who's going to buy him something for Yontif? Who's going to take care of this widow? Who's going to take care of this poor person? So that's all part of the mitzvah of simcha's Yontif, and this is something that a person has to do. This is the Rambam. Yeah.
How does the Rambam know this point a little bit earlier in the Rambam? How does he know that the in simcha will be the
bus? Oh, so we'll see in a minute. Okay, so that's a very good question. So what we're taking now, what is this Rambam? That's the point we're going to get to right now. So the Rambam here is saying, this is the reason I'm bringing this up is because what we really need for the purpose of this shir is that when the Rambam says, and there's a few things that are noteworthy about this Rambam. First of all, he says that the mitzvah of samachta b'chagecha applies midoraisa even today. That's number one. But number two is that he says that how do you make the men happy? All right, number two, I guess the second point you would see from the Rambam is that he says that simcha pertains to each person in their own way. And number three is that how do you make the men happy? He says, Ochlin basar v'shosin yayin. That we eat meat and drink wine. Now this statement of the Rambam raised a lot of eyebrows. Because the people who were reading this Rambam carefully said to themselves, where did he get that from? After all, the Gemara, what's the source? The Rambam doesn't make up the halachas, right? He's getting it from the Gemara. Now, if you recall, the Gemara that we quoted previously in Pesachim says that Bisman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Simcha was from the meat of the carbon. But nowadays, that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, ain't Simcha El Biyayin. The Simcha is with wine. It doesn't say a word about Basar. It doesn't say a word about Basar. It doesn't say here, it doesn't say in the Gemara, right? If you refer back to that Gemara, Pesachim Kuf Tes, right? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra said that Bisman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, ain't Simcha El Biyayin. So where do those who read the Rambam very carefully, which many people did, everyone should, and many people did, so they said, where did he get that from? Where does it say, he's making that up? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. To the contrary, the Gemara says, just yayin. The Gemara doesn't say anything about Tosa.
How much? What do you want to eat?
But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, you drink wine. You drink wine. To eat meat, who says you have to eat meat? Now, why is that relevant? Why is it relevant to this year? Because let's say the practical difference how you interpret the Rambam. Because on Shavuos, if you want to have dairy food, let's say I enjoy eating blintzes. I enjoy eating quiche. I enjoy eating cheesecake. So you'll say, Simcha. Listen, with Simcha, the Rambam said, how do you make kids happy? You get them candy. How do you make women happy? You get them clothing and jewelry. How do you make men happy? So that we need to know the answer to that. Because if the answer to that is whatever makes them happy, so if I like cheesecake, then I don't have to eat meat on Yom Tov. However, the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. But on the other hand, where does he see that? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. Doesn't say that in the Gemara. So where did he get that from? So this basically gave rise to a great argument amongst Achronim. And there's basically two camps how to interpret the Rambam. So the Shagas Aryeh, one of the greatest, most well-known of the Achronim, said, the Shagas Aryeh lived in the 18th century, said that, one could find this in his Sefer, Simon Samachay, Samachvav, that he has a long discussion about this, and he says that it must be that the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara was that when the Gemara says that Bisman Hazeh, you give a person wine, that the Gemara wasn't being dafka. The Gemara doesn't mean specifically wine. The Gemara quotes wine because we have a pasuk in Tehillim, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, that wine makes a person happy, which it does, right? So typically. So therefore, all the Gemara meant to say by that, says the Shagas Aryeh, was that's the type of thing that a man would have to enjoy Yom Tov. But it's not a specific requirement. And therefore, says the Shagas Aryeh, the Rambam, when he wrote here that it has to be the Bosar, the Yayin, so what he meant to say was, he doesn't mean that it has to be the Bosar, the Yayin. He's just giving common examples. In other words, we find in the Torah, and it's well known in general, that a person enjoys eating a nice piece of meat. So therefore, having meat makes a person happy, especially men, makes a person happy, and wine makes a person happy, but it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to do that's why the Rambam added Basar, because you'll say, well, it doesn't say that in the Gemara, so the Shagas Aryeh says, you don't understand what the Gemara was saying. The Gemara wasn't saying it must be wine. The Gemara was just saying wine, because that's a common thing that makes a person happy. But whatever would make a person happy would be included. And therefore, theoretically, says the Shagas Aryeh, if a person was not interested in having meat or wine, then so be it. That's fine. Other things make him happy, so let him eat what makes him happy. He likes having blintzes, let him eat blintzes. That's fine. Because the halacha was not saying specifically wine and meat. So says the Shagas Aryeh. However, an earlier authority, Rav Shlomo Luria, the Marshal, in his commentary to the Gemara Maseches Bei Yam Shel Shlomo, disagrees with this. And he addresses this question, which actually, the question of where did the Rambam get this from, that you have to eat meat, that the question actually can be found in the Beis Yosef commentary to the Torah, but he also asked that question, where does the Rambam see this? So the Marshal said that you're making a mistake. The Marshal said that you didn't read the Gemara properly. That what the Rambam meant was as follows. The Rambam said that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, all you needed was meat. You didn't need wine. Why? Because the meat that the Torah is referring to is specifically the meat of a carbon. Not stam meat, but the meat of a carbon. So says the Marshal, the reason for that is because when a person brought a carbon, so it was a means of becoming closer to Hashem. So therefore, the specific mitzvah of having a carbon shlamim on Yontif was a tremendously uplifting experience, both spiritually and physically, because of the fact that at the same moment you're becoming closer to God and you're doing it through having a good meal. So that was a special experience that only existed at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, because the carbon was the means of giving the person the spiritual enjoyment. However, says the Marshal, what the Gemara means to say is that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so that component, the spiritual component, was lost, because you just can't replicate that. The Karbanos was a special, it's hard maybe today for us to fully appreciate this, but the Karbanos were a special way of closeness to Hashem. And once that was lost, so now people were despondent. People were despondent because this was a big thing. This was something we always looked forward to. It's going to come Yontif, and a person will go to the Olah Regel, a person will go to the Beis HaMikdash, and will have this very unique experience. And a person will be despondent. So says the Mashal. And there was no way that could be replicated. What could you possibly do to make up for that? So a person would fall into a sense of despair. Here we are in Golus. We lost our connection to God. Where are we? So says the Mashal. So for that reason, when the Gemara says, Bisman Hazel, you have to drink wine, it doesn't mean you should only drink wine, but rather it means you should continue to eat meat, obviously not from Karbanos, but you should eat meat. That part of the experience you can still replicate. But in the place of the closeness to God, which was the spiritual component that was lost, a person has to fill himself with bitachon. A person has to fill himself and say that despite the fact that we're in Golus, we still believe that despite all the challenges and all the difficulties, Hashem is still with us. And in order to do that, a person, says the Mashal, that a person needs to take a little drink. It's not so easy. A person is stressed out with worries. You know, today we have our own worries, but the Baruch Hashem, in the bigger picture, we don't worry sitting here in America in relative safety. We worry about the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but we, in our own physical safety, we don't worry about so much. But in the difficult times throughout the Golos, the people didn't know their own future. What's going to be? Who knows what's going to be tomorrow? What the next government decree is going to be? Who knows when the next pogrom is going to be? So therefore, says the Marshal, that they made the mitzvah to drink wine, because in order for a person to have bitachon, he has to be able to forget about his problems a little bit. He has to be able to put his problems aside. Not that he should get drunk, but he has to be able to put aside his problems. And that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim Ein Simcha El B'Yayin. But as far as the halacha that would come out from it, says the Mashal, the requirement to have meat would still be in place. It would still be in place. So therefore, the Gemara didn't mean to say wine and not meat, but the Gemara meant to say the meat part of the carbon, even though we don't have the carbon, but the meat we could still replicate. As far as the closeness to Hashem, so that we have to use wine in its place. But thus would come out the halacha, according to that, that the obligation to eat meat on Yontif would still be enforced. As far as women's obligation of Simchas Yontif, this is a discussion in the Il Shagas Aryeh, also a long discussion on that. I don't remember how it comes out, but I believe it was held that it applies to women also. Okay, even though you'll say it's a mitzvah of Man Grama, I'm just looking at the Shulchan Aruch. It seems that it applies to women. At least, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it. We hold it applies to women also.
Isn't that artificial happiness?
What's that?
When you drink.
Yeah, but sometimes it depends what you do with the drink. If the person gets drunk, it's artificial happiness. But sometimes the person needs a little drink in order to be able to strengthen himself. Right? This is the value. Drinking. It depends how you do it. There's the Jewish way of drinking and the Goyish way of drinking, right? So forgive me for saying, but that's the reality. In other words, to drink to get drunk is not a Jewish form of drinking, but the person should take a little drink in order that he should be able to, in some degree, relax and gather strength. That was not frowned upon. So therefore, obviously within reason. Yeah.
Isn't it not, is the answer an objective?
Yeah, so it comes down, in other words, it comes out that according to this, according to the Yamshel Shlomo's interpretation of the Gemara, I don't know necessarily that he's saying it, well, he is saying it in the Rambam, but yeah, it's a little bit not mashmas true. It's a little bit, it doesn't sound, in other words, the Rambam doesn't hit on the head that women have to do this also, but in terms of the object, well, the Rambam is talking about the subjective. In terms of the objective requirement, so the Rambam throws in this idea of Basar V'yayin, even though he's discussing there the subjective simcha, but according to the Yamshel Shlomo's interpretation, what he meant to say by that was that this applies to everybody. It is somewhat not mashma in the Rambam, but this is what he says. This is what he says. So the question then remains, so who do we go by? So what would be the halacha? In other words, so now we have to know, right, today is the cooking day for Shavuos, so now we have to make the decision, right, so what are we doing with the blintzes? So are we eating them or not? Because on the one hand, if you take it literally, so then you have to eat meat. If you eat meat, so then you should not replace it with a dairy meal. On the other hand, there are those who seem to say that all it means is that whatever makes you happy. So whatever makes you happy, so anything that makes me happy, so milchik makes me happy, I can eat milchik, that's fine.
That's why Yom Tov is 2 days.
That's why Yom Tov is fake of the menu. Right. What's that?
Vegetarian.
That's, I'm not getting into that. Okay, that's a different discussion. So the question is, so what do we do? So the minig, now it happens to be, as I said at the outset, the minig to eat macholei cholov on Shavuos goes back very, very far. Goes back very far, which would indicate that obviously the consensus, you know, the Gemara says sometimes, Hol Chazi, my Oma Dabar, the Gemara says, go see what people do, right? So it would seem from the long standing minhag that we hold that, all right, that the Rambam is better understood in the way the Shagas Aryeh says. It does really fit better into the words of the Rambam, that he just means that whatever makes you happy, and therefore if Cholov makes you happy, so be it. Okay, the Mishneh Berurah in the Bir HaLacha, in the laws of Yontif, so the Mishneh Berurah, if you turn out to the page 4, I guess it is, right, so the Mishneh Berurah in the bottom left, the Shulchan Aruch, which is printed right on top of it. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis. Okay, first of all, just to see the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like we said, Chatzil Hashem Chatzil Lachem, which means that a person should spend, you know, part of the day davening and learning, and part of the day in celebration. Just to go to Sif Aleph for a moment, the Shulchan Aruch says, Va'al Yitzamsem Bo'tzos Yontif, a person should not be so strict, the person should not be so medactic in his expenses for Yontif, a person should a little bit, you know, go over what he would usually spend, he should spend a little bit more. V'tzarech l'chavdo l'ango k'mo b'shabbos, and a person is supposed to celebrate Yontif k'mo b'shabbos. So the poskim say that what the Mishneh Berurah brings down, that what it means here is that just like we find by Shabbos is an Indian of Onik Shabbos, so too a person has to have the same on Yontif. But then it says that it's brought further, if you go down, skip the Ramah and go for a different shir, and then he says, now let's pay attention to this. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person has to have Lecha Mishnah on Yontif as well, Ulikboa kol suda al hayayin, and every meal that a person eats on Yontif should be with wine. Okay, what is missing from this statement? It doesn't say basar. Okay, he says yayin. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, is the one who asked the question on the Rambam. He said, I don't know where the Rambam put basar. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. He was the one who was the first to ask that, or at least the most prominent to ask that question. So therefore, when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he deleted it. He dropped it from the Rambam. He said, I don't understand what he's saying. It's not what the Gemara says. So therefore, every meal, you have to have yayin. So that's noteworthy. But what's also noteworthy is that what you see from this also is that he held that whatever the law of Simchas Yontif is, it applies to every meal. It applies to every meal. In other words, because, as we'll soon see, an argument could be made that maybe I could eat one meal dairy and one meal meat and still satisfy the requirement. You see here that the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Suda, Kol sud alayayim. Okay, then he says, v'bigdei yontif yu yosef tov mishal Shabbos, that a person should wear even nicer clothes on yontif than on Shabbos. Okay, the old minhag, which today people aren't so, it's not so popular to wear hats anymore, but I remember growing up as a child that my father, shalom be well, had a regular hat that he wore on Shabbos and had a hamburg that he wore on yontif, because that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah that a person should have nicer clothes on yontif than on Shabbos. It's not practical for us, because when you have a special suit that you're only going to wear on yontif, most people can't do that, right? So the way that would be done would be to have something that's more chashuv for yontif than for Shabbos. But that's what's brought down, that a person should have nicer clothes for yontif than for Shabbos. Okay. Now, when he says if you look in the Mishnah Berurah on the right side on the bottom, he says what that means is it's not enough to make kiddush. That's not good enough. In other words, on yontif, the person should have a bottle of wine on the table. They should have wine in addition to kiddush, because that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that the bismana zayin simcha al biyayin. So he took that literally. Okay. Now, if you look at the Bir Halacha on the bottom left, so the Bir Halacha discusses this issue of does a person have to eat meat. So he says that bisman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim hayochul basar ashlamim l'simcha, a person would eat a basar shlamim for simcha, as it says in the pasuk, v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham. And then he says v'achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kayim ein yotzim yidei chova simcha el biyayim. But nowadays, when we don't have the carbon, so you need wine shenemar v'yayin nisamach levav enosh. Says the Bir Halacha explicitly, "Aval basar ein chova lechol achshav, kivan she'ein wanu basar shlam." So says the Bir Halacha, but the obligation to eat meat we don't have. In other words, unlike the strict reading of the Rambam, he reads apparently interprets that like the Shagas Aryeh shot, that the Rambam didn't mean mamish meat. The Rambam just meant whatever makes you happy. And even though wine, apparently, they took literally, but when it came to this, they said that the meat is labdafka because we don't have it. That's the literal reading of the Gemara. Certainly, forgetting about the Rambam, that's certainly the literal reading of the Gemara in Pesachim that says that bisman hazeh ein simcha el biyayin. Then he says, however, mikol makom mitzvah yesh gam b'achilus basar. There is a mitzvah that a person can fulfill by eating meat, kivan shenemar bo simcha. Because since we find that meat is associated with simcha, so therefore there's a special mitzvah to have meat on yontif. Okay, so where does this leave us? So it would seem this would be the Mishnah Berurah would be the generally speaking the authoritative opinion. So he seems to say that really there is no obligation to eat meat on yontif. There is no obligation. There is an obligation of simcha, but if a person is happy, so if as long as he eats food that makes him happy, yes.
Says in the Mishnah Berurah on the next line, the
Gamitzvah Lechobasa. Gamitzvah Lechobasa, right. So the Bir Halacha he's saying.
No.
The third line down. Yes. Correct, thank you. So the Mishnah Berurah on the third line down also put this in. He says, the Gamitzvah Lechobasa, which is really the same thing he's saying in the Bir Halacha. In other words, that it's a mitzvah. He doesn't say it's a chiv. He says, the mitzvah teed me. It's a mitzvah to eat meat. He doesn't say one is obligated to eat meat, but he says a mitzvah, which is what he's saying here as well, which is, if one looks in the Bach, you'll see that the Bach in his commentary to the Torah says that's what should be done. So this gives rise to the, once again, so the different practices amongst people, right? So should you have the milk, the dairy meal on Shavuos, okay? So on the one hand, to say that you must have meat, it doesn't seem that anybody's ready to say that. So say the chiyuv, you must have fleishik. Nobody says that. Okay, no, that does not seem to carry the day, except for Marshal, except for the Amshel Shlomo. But his opinion does not seem to have made it into the bottom line. One second. However, the way they do say that there's a mitzvah to eat meat. They do say there's a mitzvah to eat meat. So in one of the great poskim of the previous century, the Darche Tshuva writes, there's a lengthy discussion on this topic. On which is found on the top of this page. So in the Darche Tshuva, he says, he brings down the minhag to eat. It's very fascinating to read this. to that he says he, that, that, that there were people who had the minhag to eat dairy meals on Yontif, on Shavuos, and he brings down those who say that absolutely one should not do it because it's wrong, and they bring a raya which nobody else brings, but a very fascinating raya from a Mishnah that's found in Maseches Chulin. There's the Mishnah Maseches Chulin. If you turn back one page, the Mishnah says in Maseches Chulin is one of the relatively obscure mitzvahs in the Torah. It's the mitzvah of Oso Vespino. There's a halacha that shochet is not allowed to slaughter a mother and a child animal on the same day. So now that's a mitzvah in the Torah. So this is part of the beginning of the Yontif flame on Sukkot and Pesach, right? Oso Vespino Osishchetu Biomecha. So the question is, so do you have to keep this in mind? Does a shochet have to keep track? So basically, the Mishnah tells us that generally speaking, this wouldn't be an issue because there was not so much shechita on any given day that you had to, what was the likelihood that you were going to get a mother and a child on the same day? In other words, the shochetim really can't necessarily keep track because the old time shochetim, you know, people brought them animals. It wasn't like today where, you know, the shochet gets the animal before the consumer gets it. In the old times, people raised their own flock, and when it came time to eat, they would bring one of their animals to the shochet. So now, does the shochet have to start asking questions? Does he have to say, well, one second, does this animal have a child, or does this animal have a mother, and if that's still living, and if so, was that slaughtered on this day? So basically, the halacha is you don't have to worry about it because the likelihood is very minuscule. However, the Mishnah Chulin tells us that there were four times in the year, Ba'arba Prokim Bishana, there were four times in the year that Hamocher Behema L'Chaveiro, Tzorech L'Hodio, Ima Macharti Lishchot, Bita Macharti Lishchot. There were four times in the year that a seller would have to inform the Shochet, they would have to tell him, that, you know, be careful because I sold the mother. In other words, the fellow, let's say, not that a person raised his own animals, but you had somebody who sold the animals, so it would have to, the word would have to get out that be careful because I sold the mother today, and this is the child, and just be careful that they shouldn't both be slaughtered on the same day. There were four times in the year this had to be done. And the reason, the Gemara explains, the reason for this is because there were four times of the year that were heavy volume shechita days. Four times of the year that preceded days that Jews would be eating meat, and therefore these were days that everybody was involved in shechita, and you really had to be careful. What are the 4 days, says the Mishnah of Elul Hayim? Elul Yontif Ha'achron Shochag. It would be the day before Shmini Atzeres. Okay, not the day before the first days of Sukkot. The Gemara explains because before the first days of Sukkot, Jews were too busy putting up the Sukkot and buying Arba Minim. They didn't have time. They didn't have time, so therefore the volume of Shechita, even though it was a mitzvah to eat meat, but apparently didn't go to the same extent. But on the Erev Shmini Atzeres is a big meat day. And then it says, V'Erev Yontif Harishon Shel Pesach. And on Erev Pesach, and here it is, V'Erev Atzeres. And on the day before Shavuos, the Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, those were the 4 days of the year that were the busiest days of Shechita, and the Gemara, the Mishnah proceeds to say, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, also Erev Yom Kippur. So, because of the people eating for Erev Yom Kippur meal. In his commentary to this Mishnah, one of the Achron, Taras Chaim, the same name as the Yeshiva here, Taras Chaim says that you see from this, that Shavuos was a big shechita day. Erev Shavuos, a lot of shechita going on. Now, if everybody's eating blintzes, why is the shochet so inundated with shechitas? So it must be, he says, that apparently the minig to eat cholov does not supersede the minig to eat meat. That's what he says. And he proceeds, he goes on a whole diatribe to proceed to say that, and it's wrong. And Dachet Shuvah, I'm just going to say this, just watching the clock here. So the Dachet Shuvah proceeds to say, brings a whole rant that therefore they say that a person should abolish this minhag. It was leading to all kinds of problems. Should not eat dairy. So says the Dachet Shuvah, it's against the Masori. You see that it wasn't that way. So somebody had a bright idea somewhere down the line. In other words, the minhag to eat dairy on Shavuot is not found in the Gemara. But what is found in the Gemara is that apparently on Shavuos was one of the biggest meat consumption days of the year. So therefore they say, the Taras Chaim and others went on a whole thing that this minute is not a good minute. So the Dake Tshuva said, you know, must have liked Blintzes. So he said, you know, calm down, take it easy. We don't have a right to say that. And he says, we'll see in a minute, the Ramah brings the minhag. The Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch brings this minhag. So essentially, he discusses what the ins and outs of it. Very fascinating to read through this, and it would take hours to really go through every line of this. But if you look in the second column, he brings down, V'hinei shamati shiyei she'enem rotzim l'mnoa melechol b'yom. So he brings down a custom that some people have, that you know how you'll solve the problem? You'll solve the problem by having dairy at night. You'll have dairy at night, then meat during the day. Because who necessarily says that you have to have meat exclusively? Even though we saw in the Shulchan Aruch that it sounds like he holds that it's by every meal, but the Darche Tshuva was not impressed by that. The Darche Tshuva said, who said, maybe you'll tell me. So at night you have dairy. And especially since there is a Gemara in Sukkah, which is not on the sheet, I don't want to get involved, but the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah and Daf Memches that says that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they did not eat the meat of the Karban Shlomim at night. There was not a special Indian to eat at night, it was only during the day. And therefore, there are those who say, and this is a minhag that some people have, that they eat the dairy on Shavuos at night. So the Darche Tshuva, however, is not so impressed by this, because he says that if you look in the poskim, you will see that the consensus is that the mitzvah to eat meat is day and night doesn't really make a difference. So he ends up saying, but on the other hand, he says a minhag to eat the milchad. He says he can't say the minhag is wrong, even though it seems to fly in the face of the Mishnah. So he says, so you know what the solution would be, says the Darche Tshuva, to make everybody happy, what you should do is that a person should come home from shul, and a person should have kiddush, and at the kiddush he can have himself a piece of cheesecake, and have whatever he wants to eat, and then a while later he'll have his meal, and he'll have his meal with basar. That's what he suggests. That's what he says that a person should do. Okay, so this is something which, you know, some people have this minhag, right? But again, this is by no means authoritative either. Because the fact of the matter is that's a widespread minhag that people eat dairy meals on Shavuos, and you can't say that it's wrong, and then probably the reason is because, as we said, they hold like the Shagas Aryeh, they hold that simply just means whatever makes you happy. I like eating milchik, so I'm eating milchik. What's the big deal? Right? That's what they say. The Mishnah Berurah says that there's a mitzvah to eat meat, so says the Darche Tshuva, one way you can make peace is to have the kiddush with the cheesecake and then eat the meat. Of course, if you do that, you have to be careful because, you know, whether there's some people that have the custom, they wait between the dairy and meat a half hour. This is a minhag not everybody has, many don't, right? But everybody agrees that even if you don't wait a half an hour between dairy and meat, at the very least, the person has to rinse out their mouth and eat some solid food to get it out of their teeth. In other words, the person would have to eat something that was hard, like a pretzel or something like that, that you would chew on, that if there was any residual challah, in other words, to just jump in from milchik to fleishik, even though officially the 6 hours is only the other way, right? We don't wait 6 hours between dairy and meat, and some people don't wait at all, but nevertheless, you can't just not do anything. You have to do something in order, because otherwise there's a concern that you still have in your mouth, so you take a drink and you eat something that's called kinuach v'adocha, and if a person does that, that would be fine. So I just conclude that the final reason, getting back to the beginning of the shiur, why you eat meat and dairy, why you eat dairy products on Shavuos, so the final reason is something that could also bear on this, which is found on the last page in the Ramah. The Ramah, the very last comment in the laws of Shavuos, which are not very extensive, but the very last thing, the Ramah brings the minhag b'kama makomos lechol machol echov on the top of the page, that in many places they have the custom to eat dairy b'yom rishon shel Shavuos. Apparently, the minhag that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch is to have dairy on the first day of Shavuos. Right? Now that would fit with the explanation that we gave at the outset, that it's because when they came back from Har Sinai, so they had to eat, that they ate the milchit. So that's what he brings. But listen to this. He says, V'nirli atam, he says, why? Where did this practice come from? So he says a very unique thing. He says, the reason is because just like on Pesach, at the Pesach Seder, we have on the Ka'ara, something that commemorates the Korban Pesach and something that commemorates the Korban Chagiga, right? You have the Zeroah and the Bay, you have the shank bone and the egg. So he says that there is an inyan for us today to commemorate Korbanos. What was the Korban that was brought on Shavuos? The special Korban of Shavuos was the Korban that was called Shtei HaLechem, that involved two loaves of bread. Two loaves of bread from the new grain that was brought, in addition to the carbon, there was also the two loaves of bread, Shtei Alechem. Says the Ramah a very clever thing. There is a halacha that one cannot eat the same loaf of bread with a meat meal and a dairy meal. This is not so well known, but this is a halacha that a person should not eat the same meat, the same bread, because there's a concern that some of the food might have gotten onto the bread, and therefore you'll come eat bread was eaten. Today it's not as common, but in the old days people ate their food directly with bread at the same time, so there was the possibility, and it also probably is referring before they had bread slicing machines, so the halacha is that you can't use the same loaf of bread for meat and dairy because you may have some residual food. Says the Ramah, so this is what you do on Shavuot. He says what you do is you wash your hands, until you die, and you say Hamotzi, and you say Hamotzi, you take some Cholot, you take your blintzes and whatever you want, okay? And then you will switch modes from the dairy into the meat. But in order to switch into the meat, you have to change the bread. You can't use the same loaf of bread. You can't use the same challah. So you have to bring another challah. So in order to bring the next challah, so that will, because you're now eating meat, you have to bring a second challah. This will mean that in effect, you had, you were mandated to have two loaves of bread at this meal. That would be a commemoration to the Korban Shtei Alechem. This is what he says, that this is why became the practice to eat dairy on Shavuos, because it wasn't stam to have a piece of cheesecake. It was that it was a meal, but the way they did it was that they would start the meal with cholov, with macholei cholov, with dairy products, and then they would switch. And the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion, this is a machlokes in the poskim, but the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion that dairy and meat can be eaten in the same meal. You don't even need to say berachas hamazon in between. That it does not have to be the other way for sure, even people would only 6 hours, but there's no way that it could be in the same meal. But the fact is that when it goes from milk to meat, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that you don't even have to bench in between. So you could start the meal, eat dairy, then switch into the meat mode. Of course you would have to wash out your mouth and eat something that you would chew in order to get out of your teeth. And that way you would have the zecher to the Korban Shtei Alechem. So therefore, I way over the time, but just to summarize. So here's what comes out, halacha l'maisa. Basically, you can do what you want. Okay? In other words, after everything's said and done, there's a basis for everything. There's a basis for everything. To say that you shouldn't eat, there are the hardliners, usually the people, men usually are the hardliners in this area, not coincidentally, right, that say, I must have meat, the guy tells his wife, I must have meat on Shavuot. Okay? So obviously you're doing with Shem Shemayim, of course, not in any way because of his own personal preference, but because of Shem Shemayim, right? So if you're going to be one of those people, so be it. But there is the practice to have meat, so you should at least have a piece of cheesecake at some other point on Shavuot. Okay? If you want to have a dairy meal with blintzes and all that stuff, you could do that also, because that seems to be the widespread minhag, and it depends how you read the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring that you're obligated to eat meat, so you could do that also. Okay? And if you want, you can do the compromise, which is to have the cheesecake kiddush, then go into the meat meal, or you could do the Ramaz shtick, which is even better, right? It'll definitely make a bigger impression on people that you start the meal with the cholov, and then you go to basar. Whatever a person does, the main thing is that a person should have in mind that they're doing this in the simcha of Yontif, and in Mitzvah Shem, we should be zochah to have a wonderful, enjoyable Shavuot.